we read the exact same scripture we read this morning. The place is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, and verse number 6. But Christ has returned over his own house. Whose house are we, or whose house we are? For we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope promised unto the end. There is an end to this message. Isn't that right? In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, and whom all the building, sitting praying together, grow up unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are building together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We're individual people, but we are made to be a part of the whole of that temple. It's done in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, and verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I need you to raise your hands and pray for me again, and I will thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. We were saying this morning that it is kind of unique to the New Testament where God brings in the thought of the family. We have such words as father, sons, daughters, household. These are all things that refer to that which is assigned and appointed unto a family. We were saying this morning that in a family, we will have a family that is as it should be. There is love in that family. When you come to church, much of the church is a congregation of individuals. I'm just recapping this morning some of them. Some people look at that as a place to preach. Some other particular thing that they associate with going to church. I think of a left off this morning. We are coming and are going, but never really sharing one another's needs and making entrance into someone else's life with a view of being helpful. As I thought about this message, in a moment of time, or several hours, these are some of the things that become very important to me in my walk with God. To be a part of a spiritual family. I am a part of a natural family, but I'm closer to you than I am most of them. That natural biological family, so much we do not have in common. We do not share the same values. But I believe here this tonight that most of us share the same values. Our lives are not our own. That's what he said. Our lives were lived with God in Christ. Jesus prayed a prayer to his Father. He said, Father, make them one, even as we are one. In that relationship between the Father and the Son, the thought of what Jesus would experience did not in any way reflect a lack of love. God so loved the world that he gave his Son. A lot of times, the things that we go through is not because of a lack of love. I'm going to make a few bold statements here tonight. But until I'm corrected adequately, I will stand by them. But I remember Brother Clinton in his pulpit talking about a message that he'd heard. I've got that message in my hand. I listened to it. The man that was preaching it gave it this title. There's no place like him. There is no place. How many of you remember that message? Maybe you didn't hear it. Try to feel free and give you some answers. The preacher had gone on to visit a person that had cancer. Best I can remember is the cancer was in the mouth. He was eating up his cancer. He went to visit that man in the hospital, and he said, the speech, you could not survive, you could not handle it. The smell was of flesh, the rotten flesh, that you could smell it before you ever got to the room when you got in the room. How horrible it was. As he preached that message, he told how he took his children. And he set them down in his house. And he began to relate that scripture or that story. And he said, kids, I want to tell you something. There is not a person in hell that would trade places for that man that stood up with cancer, because there's no place like that. He put there and he told his children, I would rather see you die in God and take your body out to the cemetery and bury you and know that you was right with God than to see you live and go to hell because there's no place like that. I don't remember that we necessarily said it to everyone, but I do know we spoke of it among ourselves. But there is a devil that goes about to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. How many parents? How many children? How many people do you know that in 1 second of time change their life forever by a pill that they took, a drug that they took? Something that changed their life forever. Most of the times, there is someone on that street. Do you remember that preacher that stood on this platform? Every day of the revival, we sing that song, you won't leave here like you came. In Jesus' name. I'm driving him back to the airport here this time. I told Jim the first service that they were here. I said, there's something wrong. Been here many times. He said, Pastor, I feel like you have something you want to say to me. I said, no, sir. I don't have anything to say to you. It was a quiet ride the rest of the way that I had it for him. He later called me and asked me, sir, are you sitting down? I said, no, but I can't if you want me to. He said, I've been a drug addict all my life. God delivered me. He said, I know that you knew something was wrong. But he said, I was teaching you about it, I believe in Pennsylvania. He said, the devil said to me, why don't you go out and get you drunk one more time? He said, I did. I'm lost. I'm down. I made it through. I believe what that preacher was saying wrong. I'd rather see you in a casket. I'd rather see you dead than to fall into that kind of temptation. To become one of those that have ruined your life. I don't believe that I'm strong enough to do without my family, my son-in-law, my daughter, my grandson, my granddaughter. I don't believe I'm strong enough to do that. But if I know my heart, I'd rather give them up, knowing that they will rise with God, and to see them live and hang on, and sink deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the same structure. This is the one thing. Death is not always the worst thing. Death is not always the worst thing. The closest I've come to having to give up someone, and my family was my mother at the age of 50. There's 5 of us children. I'm the sister, 3 years older than me, and I'm the oldest girl. But I have 5 children. Gary being the baby, I don't tell him. I think he's what, 66, 67. Well, I just kept going up, looking at the children, and doing the head. I thought maybe I'd just keep going until I got it. was a miracle. Five children were all alive. But thanks to godly parents, we're not only alive, we belong to God. That's very unusual. I do not want to give up any of my family, but I know when I do. I know where they're going. I'm not really in my message yet, I'm just building up to it. I went to Brother Cleveland one time in all of his wisdom. I asked him, I said, Brother Cleveland, why did God take that little baby? I said, that to the fact that he can do it. Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world. My baby had lost her hair. She was beautiful. I don't remember how she was. He said, someone asked her a question. What would happen to me if I had a 2-year-old? We saw Noah's run home. You die at 2 in heaven. I'm not talking about you going to be alone, but you're going to do this. You left this life. The way that three dogs will wait for their life. I went there for this in a long sleep to say, but what would happen to me without a 16-year-old boy, without my life? What would a little girl that just posted on Facebook her pictures on what March 21st or whatever? She was 2 years old. What would happen to me without the 2-year-old? I said to God, hoping that I asked me to contribute that. I don't believe I could handle that. But I think Brother Sister Mary, this police officer sitting right here, called me. My Brother Sister Bridge requires to go to the home where their boy was dead, laid in the bed. Those are things of an earthly family. But God has taken the experiences and the events of the earthly family, and I think it is that over. Into the spirit. We're going to have to bear with it. As I said this morning, we are all believing that God is wanting to do something for us, strengthen living in us. But I wonder if he does that, is he going to have to first redo some things like the family unit in the church? Can we continue not to go from house to house and break bread? Can we continue to go our separate ways? See one of our loved ones come to the altar to pray? And we don't have time to pray for them. We've got to leave. What is necessary? I think I preached all those years ago, Brother Clinton had told me he repented it all over the world. That when the Bible says, repent and do your first works over, that means go back to where you missed it and get on the straight track. As I studied the Word of God over these hours, leading up to my message today because of the situation that we are facing, I thought, what did they talk about when they broke the Word? I know what to do is teaching about it. But confess your thoughts one to another. Be tight. Regard our reputations. And by experience, we know that when somebody tells something to someone about themselves, it's not long before it's spread everywhere. Every one of us, one thing that we need in the family of God, we need someone that we can share our faults with, that we might be forgiven. I'm not going to tell you who that is, but you need to find out who they are. When the Lord said to his disciples, He did not say that was for one reason they were afraid. I don't remember there being a prayer card or a prayer line, but they got in and said to Jesus, "Would you please pray for me? I am afraid." We need to be honest. We need to be open. Hey, brother, can I talk to you for a minute? Hey, sister, can I confide in you? What I'm sharing with you, I'm asking you to keep that between us. I'm asking you to keep that in confidence. I'm not so sure the Lord would like to get us back to that place. He made no secret. He made no attempt to hide it. But the lady was taken in the act of adultery. If I was an adulterer, I wouldn't want to tell you. But there are times when that becomes necessary. Somebody said, well, they're going to think bad about me. They're the ones with the problem. They're the ones with the problem. I said it this morning. That the Lord's responsibility of men and women is not training that you get in the institution of training. There's not much to find out here in university. I went to the university, played at it for 2 semesters, flunked it, because of an instructing class. But I was only long enough to learn that most of what they told I had to get over. You didn't hear me. Dr. Matthew said, I'm an agnostic. But we know that at one time, this entire earth was covered with water. I'm glad for my training that I had gotten in the family. Because they told me the story of the rain for 40 days and 40 nights in the flood. They told me the mountains being covered. What I'm saying is, the training I got in the family of God was far more superior to what I got in the university. When trouble in our nation is what is being taught in the schools, the universities, there is a lack of training on the very basics that we were trained in. We called it civics. We called it history. You know what? When I went to school, I was almost ready to believe that America took over the world and ripped it single-handedly. You know, the greatness that was taught in that school with our intentions, our creativity, our wisdom. I never knew about the enigma that the British used to break the code of that German might, of that military might. I didn't know that. I thought Johnny went marching off to war and come back victorious. I know this one thing. This man was trained and taught, and all the rest of it was ready eventually. But the training that those teachers were giving me was the greatness of the nation. Today, it's the opposite. Burn the flag. Do whatever you want to show your despise is the nation. I'm challenging you today. That we've got to come back, as we said this morning, to that book of Acts, where they continued in the apostles' doctrine. They broke bread. They went from house to house. I believe that was paramount, because I believe the training you get in this house. I look back here, and I see pulling the blood. I see Leslie Wilson. I see Cliff Wilson. I see Stephen Martin. I look around and I see teachers. You may think it's more important for what they get out of that university. But if I can have any influence in your life, you listen to me. It's the training that goes on in this family. It's the training that goes on in that missionary, that goes on in that world around you. It is the training that goes into that new Sunday school class. The that you don't take your kids to. Sister Norma. Brother Stephen. You name them. Sister Mallory at the elementary. And so many others. It's what goes on in the family. If you don't believe what I'm saying, I'm having a problem with the Word of God. My message for last Wednesday night, and I began the message by saying, this is a personal scripture that's always been a little challenge to me. He that is spiritual judges all things, and he needs no man to teach him. Right? It's in your Bible. And I come to an understanding and a wisdom of what I believe that means. That spiritual man judges everything about his own life. Every thought, every ambition, every desire, every will. He does not have to be judged because he judges all things. That doesn't mean that I'm going to sit here and judge Cindy Wilson. I'm not going to sit here and judge Wayne Abercrombie. I'm going to judge me. By the Spirit, whether it's with God or not. I believe that I'm part of the first means that if I would judge myself, nobody would ever be able to find and pick a judgment up against me. That's another reason. There's a lack of training in the family. And I'm going to say this, it's not because we don't have teachers. It's not because we do not have capable anointed teachers. It's because we can't get people to come and bring people to those places. That matters very truly. If you've got to give up something, you better give up something else than the night. And if I have 30 minutes of service, you just don't know. I've been on about some of our youth. I've seen them attend more sporadically than they used to. I'm concerned about that. We have the youth upstairs. That is not a church in the church. You hear that? That is not a church in a church. That is a service for the youth where there can be a freedom. Somehow, whatever it is, that draws them closer to them. We've got sensational leaders for all groups of service. What God say would be the perishing of people in the time of the end? My people perish. Not the devil's people. God said, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. It takes that, right? Have that Bible in your house. You won't ever take it off that shelf after I take it. Have that Bible, Mama, in your house. Don't ever read it for yourself. Do not ever share it with your children. But when your love comes close to mine, I can't help. I've told you this before. On that movie that Brother Clinton wrote on the judgment. In my part of that, there's a teacher. These are words with a voice, and they play it during the program. God, I thought all I had to do was love him, and you would take care of this thing. God put me in this house. God wanted me to talk to you about your sin. Talk to you about your life. You know what grieves me about all of that? I don't have it much longer to do it. And you see, I'm coming up with it. I don't want to be known as someone that built a Catholic home or a youth facility. You could be known for that when the Baptist won't be tried. There'd be no tears on the altar. What good is a building? What good is a facility if that spiritual family has not reproduced the spiritual children? So I you cannot believe the amount of value that there is in training a spiritual family. I've heard of people who say, Christian people say, I go to church, and they don't get too close to them. I go to church, but I don't want to get close to them. There's a danger there. I said, there's a danger there. When we go to the house of God, we should go there knowing that we are with fellow Christians. And that we sin by being involved in what we do. If we decide we don't want to know anyone or get involved with anyone, that's a defeat. That's a loss. Not only for us, but I believe it grieves the heart of God. We all know. That most of all, a lot of what we say today is directed to the tragedy of these two babies. I explain my use of the word babies. Sister Dolores, we know. She'll be a teacher today. She said, Pastor, they're my babies too. How many of you have told me, Sister, we want to send those babies to my babies too? This is a very peculiar family. A few things in the natural to try to liken it to the spiritual. But a part of the peculiarity of this family is like nothing else. It was consumed in heaven. It was revealed to earth. But there's nothing else like it. Nothing. When you get to heaven, there is no marriage. There is no man. There is no freedom. Right? So, as we think of a family, we think of the joining of a man and woman and bringing them. This is so peculiar. It's not like that. You have to be born. Not a flesh and blood. You can't be bought with precious jewels. You have to be bought with a blood. There's nothing like this family. There's nothing like the people of God. And of course, tonight I will use this as a code. Miss the family I did this morning. I'm calling her again and coming in at the church. She said, Pastor, do you want to hang out in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Where somebody loves the Lord can come. But I'm of the persuasion. If you go to church, and you see a need, and you love this family, I don't understand. I don't comprehend it. I believe that God's people will see it. We're not going extravagant. We've got serious problems. They were bought and brought in here by brother and sister Rodriguez. Some of you don't even remember their names. He was in the military. Those were killers. I'm doing a hospital in Houston. You know what we're going to do? The youth, the ladies of the youth group, they might not know this yet, but they're going to cut the material and we're going to repair it ourselves. I told you this morning, we're using those people. We're not trying to be anything with God's money or the money. Good. We all belongs to Him. You know, right? Because we're a family. You don't abuse your family. You don't rob your family. You don't do something dangerous. I'm talking about to the whole of your family. You have a need. You know what I know that I'm going to tell you? My God shall supply your every need. According to the appearances in the world, by Christ Jesus. I believe I'm going to be able to give you testimonies of how God broke through to supply our needs. We're just richer people here tonight, more better than those anywhere else. So, me being your pastor, I can talk to you like this. I want you to agree tonight. That we're going to bind ourselves together as that family of God. We're going to have in the family training with these godly teachers. And God is going to lead us by what we learn in closing with this while we begin to pray. You can say that you call it God, many people, but there's something about them. Children, I have to do that testimony. In just a moment, be my friend. But I want to say this. That one thing that is like, this young man goes running in to the fellowship and says, I'm called to preach. I know how that works. I've been there. I took all of the classes, all of the lessons, read all of the books, took all the tests. There's a lot of good things in there. But there was something missing in that training. And if God is not with you when you go running out for the training you have, you'll come back as a human worker. And that is no one ever trained. If I can use that word, one another. How to have relationships with people. Those are the things you learn in the house. Your kids, when you stop that, you tell your sister you're sorry. You ask your brother to forgive you. I'm talking about when you're not at home. They tell you in schools, if it feels good, do it. Break the glass in the classrooms. Paint the walls on the outside of the building. But in that house, the training you get. Because that was what God's calling on you. You don't deface that. You don't do that. I'm telling you, the training that we get at home and in the church far supersedes anything you get in our school system. And we need to know. Would you lift your hands and just ask God?